Hello, and welcome to Emerald Expressions, where we use words to parse a gem that is the human mind. I'm your host, Jair, the Emerald Emir, and today I'm joined by...
I'm Kieran, Jaz's cousin. I always say that. Yeah, but...
Man, you really need to come up with a title for yourself. Like, you are my cousin, but you're also your own man.
I mean, yeah, well, I watch anime, feel me? Stuff, play video games sometimes. I got Twitter.
Yeah. All good things.
Next.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm a grad student. And yeah.
I just flipped it.
I'm also a scientist.
That's dumb. Oh yeah,
we love to see it. We love to see a black young man on his way to something amazing and infecting the world.
Nah. Chill.
chill. Actually, speaking of trying to be like you guys, this actually just literally happened today randomly. So earlier today, for people who might not know, listeners, I occasionally do video edits. Excuse me, not video edits, photo edits. Hopefully, maybe video edits eventually, but photo edits. And like, I posted a couple of my photo edits on my IG, and randomly, I got this comment like, "Oh, you want to collab?" I was like, "Oh, I'm thinking they wanted me to like do some photo edits for them." So I was like, "Okay, cool. I don't mind doing that." I was like, "Sure." They're like, "DM this, please." I DM the thing, and they're like, "Okay, you want a brand ambassador for our brand?" I was like, "That's not what I was expecting, but sure." So I am now a brand ambassador for Brute Impact, the fashion line.
Put it up here and close it, so like the small. So, right.
So if you're looking for some clothes and you happen to be on Brute Impact, or you follow their IG and you click the link, use Jaira 25 at discount for 25% off.
Wow.
That's dope.
So that's today. So yeah, that's cool. Moving on to the actual podcast though. I know this is gonna be like the second advertisement, and like here's an advertisement. I usually don't do advertisements within like the actual podcast, but you know, this just happened and I probably should like talk about it just in case. Put that out there. If you do buy anything, part of that comes back to me, so it ends up funding things like podcasts. So if you would like to support me, you can support me directly, or you could do the brand dealership, where you buy something that you were already going to buy, save yourself a little money, and also help support the show, and among other things. So, that's today's topic. Today, we're going to be discussing the topic of self-actualization, how to set goals, and how to turn them into tangible actions. Okay, so the first question. How do you guys come up with your goals?
I mean, well, for me, like, it's just mainly, I guess, like, it depends on what type of goal. Career-wise, I just base mine, like on the stuff I like. Like, for me, I have my goal is, like, just to be, like an engineer, like, at some point. Yeah.
Do you know what kind of specialization you want to do?
Mechanical. Mechanical. But, the main thing that motivated me to get my degree in that, it was just, like, back in high school, I did a lot of CAD classes, a lot of drawing classes, technical drawing classes. So I was like, oh, this is cool. And then my teacher for that class, he was a civil engineer. I'm like, oh yeah, yo, you like what you do? He's like, yeah, it's cool. And
architectural kind of stuff.
Well, architecture, engineering. Well, engineering has some architecture in there, but
like drawing up blueprints. It doesn't necessarily have to be architecture, but like more technical. What's the word? Mm-hmm. Drafting. It's like drafting. Yeah, it's like something like DRAUGHT, but I'm forgetting how to pronounce that word right now. DRAUGT. No, AUGHT. Draft. I forget how you pronounce that word right now.
What, draught? I forgot myself. All right, moving on from that. But
like that's more technical stuff where you're drawing like things to explain how like things will look. Like you're drawing a conceptual thing to explain how mechanical things will work or how things will look. Mm-hmm.
British spelling of the word draft.
Ah, yeah. Thank you. Because mm-hmm. I've seen that in like connection with like architectural stuff or like mechanical engineering mm-hmm. When they're doing like the blueprints.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's like that was part of my motivation career wise, and then to test it out, see what's like. I did an internship, like an engineer, like well, mechanical engineering internship, work with some engineers. I liked it. It was pretty fun. So I'm like, okay, I get into this. But that's pretty much it for like for me set up like my well, other than like money. Yeah, like those are like my main reasons for choosing like that as a like career path. Other types of goals, like I guess like long term like oh like stuff like a family, oh like you want a house, you want a car, stuff like that. Like I haven't really needed like much of like a big motivation. I'm like, yo, that's just something I want to do. Car.
I mean, those are things that you don't necessarily have to find a way to motivate yourself to. That's something like a lot of people naturally comes to them. Those are some basic things that a lot of people would enjoy, like having a nice place to stay, having a decent car, having a good, well-adjusted family. But I feel like those are some basic things for most people. I won't say.
Yeah, I'm listening.
You remember the guy who was supposed to come here yesterday?
Yeah, I'm listening, John. Hold on. Yeah.
The way that I go about setting goals is I always try to think of it like a story. Like what goal, what goal would be cool for my story to have or for my story to follow? So when I was a kid,
you have a main character syndrome. This is something I've been saying a lot on my podcast recently. Basically, you think you're the main character of your own story. I've been using that a lot in like negative light, doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing.
That's definitely the idea. There is a book. Have you read The Alchemist?
From David John.
But he was only supposed to inspect.
Right. That's.
You mean like that self help book, right?
The motivation book called The Alchemist, right? It's by
Pablo,
I have not read it. I've heard Pablo of it.
Mm-hmm. But pretty much what the point of the book is like they say, you know, follow your own personal narrative. Right, so where does your story go? How do you live that story out? And so what kind of goals does the story have? Right. So like I wanted to. You know, be a college athlete, right? That was like the big goal. I was like, oh, you know, like, that'll be cool. That'll be something that, you know, it'll fit in. It's really what I want to do. So I set that as a goal. And then I accomplished it, right? So, but then, you know, once you get that goal, question is, well, you know, what are you going to do afterwards? What's the next goal?
Yeah.
Wait, Chris, sorry to interrupt you, but can you like repeat that? I couldn't really hear you because my cousin was talking in the background. Oh, my cousin's mom.
Yeah, I'm too noisy. My bad. Yeah, like she just telling me stuff.
Yeah.
So sorry, yeah. Can you repeat that? I just want
to
make sure.
I wouldn't about setting a goal because like I don't know, like I wanted to, like it was cool. It was something that, you know, like I wanted to do because I thought it was cool, because I thought it was interesting. And it's like, you know, that would be a cool part of me or part of the story to have. You know, like how do I define myself and who I am and so forth. For the first,
dead because I know, I'll charge it.
For the first 18 years of my life, it was like, oh, you know, like I'm gonna define myself as being an athlete, right? So being a college athlete was my personal goal, right? So how can I get to college to do that?
It will not die. I'll charge and bring back.
So that's how I set the goal. Like it was cool. It was something that a lot of people did. It was a way for me to get out of my state, to get out and see the world, to really to define myself and to kind of get me through both puberty and through my childhood.
Yes, yeah.
It was a attainable goal, but it's also a goal that my entire character really wasn't built entirely on, right? Like being an athlete is part of who you are, but it's not who you are entirely. So there was a goal that is attainable, and like the bounds of being an athlete aren't very hard. Anybody can be an athlete. Up to interpretation. Sorry, I'm rambling. That's how I defined. A goal for me was, is it cool? You know, does it fit into the narrative that I have? And will it kind of be, move past it at the end?
I'm very confused.
Yeah, but look.
But he still took the phone from his office.
Hold on, I'm talking about my phone. Yeah, but the if he was an inspector, when would a repair get people coming?
Yeah, but at least he would assess
the situation. Yeah. Okay, I thought I was a repair guy on the phone. I'm like, oh look, you really missy.
No, he said he was gonna come and assess the situation, then he can call back to him. No, but it's good that they sent somebody so they know what
to say. He should have been in since yesterday. Yeah. Why I got so quiet? What happened? Hello?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I was just letting you finish.
Yeah, nah, I'm here.
But to ask a follow up question then, Chris, do you still make your goals like that? Or did you like, as you grew older, you adjusted how you came up with your goals and how you about like.
Yeah, it's still that way now. It's like, oh, you know, like that'd be cool if it happened, right? If I attain that, and like there's still those loose bounds, right? So like, if you would have asked me when I started grad school and I became a scientist, my first answer would be, I don't know, I want to win a Nobel Prize, right? But winning a Nobel Prize is in it.
I mean, if you don't do things, you might as well. Set your aims high and then work to that.
Because
if you set the bar low, then you're going to be low. Nothing wrong with that.
And then, you know, if you miss, you land amongst the stars, right? That entire saying, which is a little bit overrated, but it's a good saying nonetheless.
Hey, there's a reason why sayings become popular because there's merits to them.
So yeah, like if you would ask me when I first became a scientist, I would say, yeah, you know, like I want to win a Nobel Prize. Well, okay, that's a good idea. That's a goal to shoot for, right? And the bounds of winning a Nobel Prize is, you know, are loose, right? Some we define a Nobel Prize as being
as long as you don't like beat yourself up if you don't reach that goal. Sure. It's okay to have a goal, but like that's not
if you would ask me when I was in high school, you know, like how do you define, you know, being the best as far as your mind, being the smartest, being the best intellect. I would have said, well, you know, going to the Ivy League, right? I want to go to the Ivy League. That's where all the smart people go. And I got lucky enough to where now I go to an Ivy League. It's like, okay, well, you know, what's the next thing, right? Like I can do better. I can reach anything, right? Like if I want to go to Ivy, then, well, now I got to an Ivy. Well, the next question is, well, like, you know, let's win a Nobel Prize. Let's do something, you know, outside of this world, something that you know, isn't really built for me. But at the same time, we can't let your goals, you know, be defined by whiteness, right? Because we're also in this world as black men. So I think when I was a kid, I was defining a lot of my goals around proximity to whiteness, right? So I want to go to an Ivy League because that's where all the smart people go. But that idea of being smart, you know, is kind of a white construct. You know, intellect is not really measured in the same way. But that's an entire different story. But what I'm saying is, you know, that's the goals in that similar kind of mindset. Yeah, right.
It's dry.
That's fair. That's fair. I definitely agree with that. Like, set the bar high, and you can be satisfied if you get somewhere along the line.
It's more about, you know, can you accept it? Can you accept that you didn't get to where you did, and can you accept that you got as far as you did? Right. That's a little bit of a harder lesson to learn. Then
yes, we'll charge slower, but
getting what you want.
We'll actually like touch more on that later, but do you guys have anything else you want to add to this first question?
I'm good. Why don't you charge my phone in one lap? No, get off the call, and the phone calls back. I'm listening. Okay. Yeah, John, continue. I'll listen. Okay, I will. You gonna watch this? All right, yo, John, my bad. Continue.
Yeah.
Yo. Next question is, what do you do to help translate your goals from an abstract concept into something tangible you can plan for and achieve step by step? Like, how do you turn your goal from just to here's how I'm going to achieve this?
I mean, well, you kind of make like a, I guess, like checklist in a sense. I mean, like, that's the only thing I can think of, like, make a checklist of stuff you want, like, in order to like achieve that, main goal, like just make like mini goals that you want to achieve.
Break it to more manageable chunks.
Yeah, exactly. Piece by piece. Yeah. I mean, like, if you want to, like, for me, well, the main parts to becoming like a mechanical engineer, like a professional one, because professional mechanical engineer, that's the actual title. That's like the highest, basically highest you can go with your in your career. So it's like, for that, you have to first, you gotta get your bachelor's. Then you have to, you gotta pass like this and you gotta pass like the initial engineering exam. There's two parts. You gotta pass the initial one. When you pass that, and also, pass that, and then you have to work, under another like professional engineer, like a firm or company, for like 5 years. And then you could take like the second exam. Well, that's called the professional engineering exam. As far as I know, that's pretty much
It's like the bar exam for engineers or the MCAT.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, there's other little things. I know that there's other little exams you have to take. But yeah, those are like the main things. Once you do all that, you're set. You're fine, at least. You're definitely like almost to your main goal. Like the end game. Yeah. But yeah, man. Well, for me, like, that's how it is. But yeah, okay. So, yeah, what about you?
I agree. Breaking it down. So, start big. So, where do you want to be in 5 years? And then, where do you want to be in by the end of this year, and how can you go about attaining those kind of goals every single day? So how can you change into the person you want to be minute by minute or second by second, even week by week, right? So if you want to be a mechanical engineer, you need to think like a mechanical engineer. So how do I go about thinking like a mechanical engineer? Well, I should probably be reading and consuming the same kind of literature and, you know, hanging around mechanical engineers. And if you want to be smart, you need to hang around people who are smarter than you.
Sure.
So that kind of stuff.
You got to mix it.
Doing anything you can. And also, I think one thing that's more, almost the most important is dreaming, right? You need to consistently maintain the dream that you have in order to be that person that you want to be. So can you, see yourself, right? Do you see yourself doing this goal of being mechanical engineer? Do you see yourself drawing these blueprints and, you know, creating these large structures, or, you know, like creating?
I thought you had it. No, that's not it. That's not work. Don't force it. That's not work.
Where is the fork? Don't tell me that. I know I brought it. I didn't charge my phone last night.
Okay, well, let's look
at this is going to be a lot of fun editing later.
Do you want to wait and do it sometime this week?
I had to disconnect real quick. Could y'all hear me just now or not?
Yeah.
We can hear the entire thing.
My bad, fam. Yo. What?
Do you want to like this later? Or do you want to come back later?
I mean, I'm good for now because I just left the house. I'm dropping something next door. So, I'm listening. It's quiet for now. If it gets noisy again,
I'm gonna just edit that entire bit out. It's just gonna be a little more work later. So you're good. Shit happens. The podcast is for fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, so moving on to the next question then. Unless you guys have anything else you want to add.
Okay, I think I'm good.
Dream, daydream, and fantasize about the goal that you want to achieve, and that can help you to fuel, right, doing these kind of micro goals every single minute. Because if you don't connect it back, right, to the larger goal, you're gonna hate doing these micro goals, right? Because nobody wants to do addition day in and day out. But if you thinking about doing addition, putting, you know, how many pillars is it gonna take to keep up this dam? That's a lot more fun than just doing addition on paper, right? So think about that, and that's what really helps you to keep the drive going.
That makes sense.
That's all I got to say.
How about you?
Hold on. Just drop? Oh, hell.
Huh?
Hold on. Y'all can hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, we can hear you.
No, I thought it just dropped. Wait, repeat the question?
No, that beeping sound you heard was probably like from my tablet. Like, it just made a beep sound.
All right, gotcha. Yo, repeat the question again.
So, I was just asking if you had anything else to add before I asked the next question.
I'm good.
So how can you hold yourself accountable if you're lazy, unmotivated, or otherwise detract from the goals you set for yourself?
How do you hold yourself accountable for... Say it one more time.
How do you keep yourself on track, basically?
There you go. Let me see. Oh, on track. That's a good question.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, you go first because I'm thinking.
How do you keep yourself on track? I think if you keep
as I'm doing this,
In the last question, we talked about breaking it down, right? So if you break it down, you'll have a schedule. Goals.
Charging
for can't ultimately get you to the larger goal itself. And so, how do you keep yourself on that schedule? I think
you got power strip.
Keeping yourself on that schedule.
Got room on the bed.
All right, copy.
Can be done if you. Yeah, take it one day at a time, right? Like you might not accomplish your micro goal for today, but if you can, you know, wake up and accomplish that same micro goal tomorrow, then it won't be as bad, right? And
I'll go back outside. Actually,
if you are running up against yourself, right? Like if you are being lazy about these goals, and I think you really have to kind of take a hard look, right, at yourself. Do you really want to accomplish these goals, right? Is the pace that you set not good for you? How well do you know yourself, right? Because if you really know yourself, then you should be able to set a good pace and to have a good idea as to how you can go about achieving your goals. And so I think keeping yourself on pace.
The goals, you're not achieving the goals at the rate you thought you would. Yeah. You have to know how to adjust. Like, okay, this pace, I thought I could do this pace, but this pace isn't good for me.
Reevaluate, right?
Maybe I should do a slower pace or quicker pace.
Life happens, right? There's a lot of life that goes on every single day outside of this goal that you set, right? So you need to be self. You need to understand that life happens and you need to, go about, shifting. You need to go about living your goals, right? Living these micro goals rather than just like setting them as something that you're going to do, right? You need to make them a part of you, right? If you make them a part of you, like, every day at 6 o'clock, I meditate. That's just what I do, right? You talk about, gyrants, like, what do you do every day at 6 o'clock? I don't know, like maybe you drink tea every day at 6 o'clock. That's just what you do. Make that, to the point where,
depending on the day, I'm probably
sleep. That's also
probably
the
crit.
Right? Like, you're sleep. That make that something about you, where you can accept that. That's who you are, and that's the same thing for this goal. Right, make it a part of you, and that's one way that you can keep it on track. Instead of just saying, it's such a drag. I practice Spanish, for an hour. It's like, I don't know. It's just like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like
the thing of it as
it's
like
just
a
like
separate
breathing
thing
for me, right? Like every day,
they
every
make
day
it
watch,
the thing that
anime
you eating or sleeping.
Because if not, the power shuttle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Make it almost second nature for you to work whatever the goal is.
Yeah. And I think that can help you to keep you on track and to keep, because then if you make it second nature, then you're not thinking about it, right? You're not thinking, I have to do this for another year
I gotta do my science homework, or I gotta practice sketching for my engineering class. It's not something that you gotta think about. It's just something that you know.
Yeah.
This is something I gotta do today.
Yeah.
This is part of the schedule. This is already part of my mind.
Like you're putting faith, right? Not only are you putting faith in yourself, right? Because you set this goal. You set this goal, and you're doing this to yourself. But also, you're having faith in who you are as a person, right? The person who set this, and the person in the future who you'll become through it, right? Like it's ultimately like it's a very trusting experience, and you get to know yourself.
Yeah, man, play me a locker. All right. Oh,
later.
Oh, you done? All right, later. I'll see you in a bit. All right. Yeah. What? So it's my turn? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Hello.
Hello. So my cousin's like talking with his power company right now because this is dating this, but like we recently had a hurricane in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're in like Jersey, so you know what happened.
Yep.
he's in like he's talking like Con Ed, so he might join a little bit later. He might not. Okay. We'll see. I would just keep going. I feel like you're in the middle of a sentence. So,
I was at the end. I was making sure that you. Actually, I kind of forgot what I was saying.
You're saying it was. To make it like second nature.
Make it like
second to do nature, work on your goal.
Because you're putting faith, you're putting trust in the person who designed this schedule, right? You're putting faith in the person who designed it and the person who you're going to be. Right? You're saying, I've set this goal. This is who, I think that I want to be, right? And so by making it second nature, you're kind of, putting that blind trust in yourself. And that's a good thing. That's all I got.
I definitely agree with that. All right, so to move on to the second question, the next question, firstly, how important is it to learn to not beat yourself up if things don't go as planned or as smoothly as for you as they have for other people?
It's so important. I think that's the most important lesson that any of us and all of us need to learn is that who we are in life and who we become in life, we can only control so much of it, right? And we don't have control over it. We have some control, but life will happen regardless of what you say. And accepting what you can change and accepting what you can't change and changing the things you can is the most important part of everybody's life. As part of my life, right? Like the serenity prayer, which is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference between the two. Yeah. Because if you beat yourself up about it, you're going to beat yourself into a hole. It can make you bitter, right? To see people who are, doing better than you or who are excelling more than you or, who are stronger than you or, living a better life. But, how you define living a good life is something that, no one can define. It's something that you have to define, right? But everybody's life is different. My life is different. Your life is different. There's only so much you can control. And if you compare yourself to others, like that's never good. It can be good sometimes in some moderation, right? Like people have done a lot of things out of spite. Like if you, had somebody who beat your kid and you say, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna get bigger. I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna beat you up. Right. That's the kind of drive that, might work in the short term. Right. But that in the long run, that kind of spite and anger is not going to do any good for you as a person. But it can be helpful. I'm not going to discredit that entire line of thinking.
Allow certain maybe negative emotions to motivate you, but you can't allow yourself to be almost motivated by anger or spite or other things. You gotta turn that into something positive. You can't just be like, oh, I'm mad at this, so I'm gonna do this. Like, that's not a sustainable way of doing things. And also, you can't allow it to like overtake you, because like once you're in that mindset for most people, you're not thinking clearly.
I agree.
You're doing things just to do, not because it's a good idea or not because it's the best way of doing it. That's just, how do I get this? How do I get this person? How do I spite this person? How do I do this? Mm-hmm. So this person acknowledges me. Isn't really a I think, a great way of motivating yourself long term. Because eventually you're going to burn out if you do. Mm-hmm. If that's the only thing that's keeping you going. Spate isn't really a sustainable
thing. Because then at the end of the day, what are you going to have, right? It's like, say that person never, you know, acknowledges you. Then you're going to be left with nothing but that spite and, you know, that and that bitterness.
And
and that bitterness is just going to eat you up and it's going to eat you up and eat you up. And you're not going to be the person that you will be by the end of that won't be recognizable from the person who went into it. Right. So you just can't let that happen to you. And so, yeah, accepting who you are. And I think being proud of it, right? Like being proud of who you are and of the skills that you have is something that that you have is something that you have to get used to early on. And I think that kind of goes back to the last question that we talked about is that faith, right? That putting that faith into who set that schedule, who, you know, created that goal, and you're putting faith in yourself, saying, you know, okay, this is what I want to be. I've thought about it for a long time. I'm trusting in myself to become that person, right? I think having that faith in yourself can really contribute to, driving you long term, because you're saying, I'm just me. This is who I am. I know what I can do. I know the skills that I have that are, you know, that some people don't have, right? Some people, you know, can connect other people. Some people, you know, are good at math. Some people are good at, you know, reading. So how can you live a life that plays on the skills that you're born with, right? And the skills and the gifts that you have to share. That's what, that's what is good. That's the key for me, right? That's the key for living with yourself and living with the hand that life gives you. And the goals.
Mm-hmm.
Pick goals that fit with the gifts that life has given you, right? But you have to try living life in order to find, right? You have to find the gifts that you've been given, right? Because if you never try living your life and, you know, going for different goals, you're never going to find the gifts, right? It's kind of like, you know, you have to uncover, you know, the treasure that lies, you know, within you, right? These gifts that are within you. But the only way to do that is to go out and live life and try to find them. Yeah, that's what I suggest.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, you gotta live your goals, if that makes sense. Like, your goals aren't just like contained to just your brain. Like you're affected by how you perceive the world and how the world affects you. Like since you might be going along one path and then like something happens and you're like, oh, I never thought about this. Maybe I should do this or maybe I should do that. And it gives you an inspiration. Mm-hmm. Maybe now you're adding a goal to your list. Maybe now you're changing directions and you want to do something else. Don't be afraid to like shift.
Yep.
Be able to shift mid-gear.
As kids and, you know, as young adults, we kind of struggle with these. We tend to keep our goals in a box, right? Like we say, we want to be a college. We want to be a college athlete. We want to be, you know, a superstar. We want to be a mechanical engineer, right? But those lifestyles, those goals aren't, you know, you can't contain them in that box. There's a lot that comes with achieving, right, that goal. You can't put a person in a box, right? Like when we think about putting people in a box, you know, that's a bad thing, right? Because you don't want to pigeonhole anyone. People have, you know, so many different ideas and characters and, flaws, and they're multifaceted, right? So each goal itself should be multifaceted, right? And so when you think of your goal, you should think of, you know, how, you know, don't know, almost like making amorphous, right? Like, what does it mean to be, you know, a mechanical engineer in the regular day life? What does it mean to be a scientist, right? And just try to go out and achieve this kind of amorphous goal or practice the different parts of it. Sorry, I'm rambling. Yeah, goals don't belong in boxes, right? They're not clear cut. Just because you have a piece of paper that tells you that you accomplished a goal, so don't put your goals in boxes. Think of them as being, you know, larger than life, tangible items.
They're fluid. They're not the container. They're the water inside the container. They're able to change and shift and go.
The goals are just as alive as you are, right? And so you should live your goals every single day, right? And you should also live along with your goals. And so you have this goal that you're going to try to achieve, but you know, as you're living life, maybe something shifts, right? As maybe as you grow, your goal should change, right? It's not stagnant. It's not, you know, just thing.
Hmm. Okay. How do you keep yourself from constantly comparing your progress against that of others?
Yeah, I don't know. I think for me, I just accept it. I try to celebrate as much as I can, right? Celebrate those people who are doing things that I can't do. Right, it's the same answer, right? Like, they're a different person. They have, you know, different gifts than I do, so I shouldn't compare myself because I'm just as multifaceted as they are, right? And I can give, I can live, and I can contribute in different ways that they can't, and that's special to me. So why do I need to compare myself when I'm just as special as they are? And sure, I understand that, you know, they're being celebrated, and that's good. Like, I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy for you. Like, you're doing great. You're popping off. You know, like you got, you know, 20K followers, and, you know, and you're a big deal. You got your own brand. You know, like you're really doing it. You're living life great. You know, that's exciting. But there's no reason why I should compare myself to you. Like, I'm happy with the life that I have, and I'm happy with the goals that I've set, and, you know, waking up every single day. What's the saying? It said, it's a gift, right? Every single day that we wake up, it's a gift. And once you, anything that comes after that is a bonus, right? So why do I need to compare my life to you? When, you know, it's already a bonus on top of, you know, making it another day. So I think that's the way that I think about it. And once you put it in that context, it's just like, you know, there's no reason to compare myself to them because they're, you know, they can do things. I can do things that they can't. And I think if you think about it that way, you know, you think about all these people who, you know, sure, they might have, you know, a bunch of money, or, you know, they might be famous, but, you know, if they can't have a conversation, you know, lasting longer than 15 minutes, or, you know, if they're so cold-hearted, or, you know, they're just like turned off, or, you know, they're snobbish, then it's like, what good is any of that? Like, yeah, like, I understand you're famous, but, you know, me and the boys down the block don't want to hang out with you because, you know, you're not a good person, right? And, you know, how do you judge, right? How do you how do we as a society quantify, right, what makes a life worthwhile? And if we think about it, some people, by society's term, sure, some people's lives are more worthwhile than others to society, but I think everybody's life is special. And I think once you think of it that way, then there's no point in comparing. What about you?
I mean, I'm not gonna cap, like, it ain't hard. It's actually really hard, but, like, after a certain while, it's just like, well, whatever, man. Like, I'm not gonna be you. Me comparing myself to you really doesn't do me any good. It's just wasting my time. Mm-hmm. Like, I might be, in the sense that, like, I'm just, like, putting myself down. Like, if I'm trying to, like, take tips from you or see, like, oh, they did this, and then this is how they got to here, mm-hmm. maybe I can implement that into my own mm-hmm. little achieve, trying to work on my goals. Yeah, that's fine. That's cool. But if you're just, like, comparing yourself and, like, knocking yourself mm-hmm. against the wall that you will never, like, be able to scale, mm-hmm. I don't see the point in that too much. I do occasionally. I'm not going to lie, but, like,
yeah, everybody
I try does. To keep my... I try to keep myself to a thing where I'm like, okay, they do this. That's cool. I appreciate that. But I'm Jair. Mm-hmm. What works for Jair? Because mm-hmm. that worked for them might not work for Jair. Mm-hmm. I'm a different person. I got a different perspective. I got different resources. Mm-hmm. So why, like, just knock myself against the wall? Like, mm-hmm. if there's something I think that I can, like, poach and, like, use in my own approach, yeah, I'll take that. I'll definitely take that, and I'll appreciate it. Like, thanks for the heads up, boss. That's mm-hmm. one last thing I had to think about. But other than that, it's like, cool for you, bro. But, like, I'm gonna keep working on getting my own, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
It does.
Okay, then moving to the next question. An important part of self-actualization is learning to prioritize yourself and your own happiness. Foremost, what are some tips or methods you use to center yourself?
I guess, can you be a little bit more specific with centering yourself?
I mean, in the sense that, like, how do you make it so that you know, okay, here's what I need to do. Here's how I want to set things up. I need to focus on doing things for me rather than, like, other people, or here's how I focus on doing things that are good for me personally. You know what I mean? Like, how do you prioritize that?
Okay. Sorry. So, okay. Now, could you repeat the original question one more time for me?
Okay. So, an important part of self-actualization is learning to prioritize yourself and your own happiness foremost. Mm-hmm. What are some tips or methods you use to center yourself?
Okay. I see. I think one of the biggest things for me is community, right? Having a community that you can pour yourself into and that can also fill you up, right? Because for me, because so much of self-actualization is putting, you know, yourself out there, right? Making conversations that you want to make happen, living the life that you want to, you know, striving for those goals. And that takes a lot out of you, because doing that in itself is an act of love, right? You're saying, I love myself. So I can, you know, I can go on this podcast to talk for an hour. I love myself so much that, you know, I can go and I can help, you know, the African kids across the street. You know, I love myself so much, you know, I can go and cut the yard for my parents because, you know, they can't. And so all of that is an act of love that can easily take a lot out of you, because, you know, that's a lot of energy, right? Physically, it's a lot of energy emotionally, right? Because you're doing these things, you're giving to other people, right? You're giving of yourself. And it can be a lot spiritually, because you're pouring yourself out into other people. And if you're not being filled up, right, by other people, if you don't have a community there that, you know, says, oh, you know, I love you, Christopher. I love you, Jairo. I love, you know, the things that you're doing. You know, you're doing really well, right? You're on the come up, right? The people who are, you know, who are gassing you up. If nobody is gassing you back up to full, then you're going to be running on empty all the time. And if you're running on empty, then, you know, you're not going to want to put yourself out there. You are going to be comparing yourself. You know, you're going to be running around. You're not going to be able to get far because nobody is there to gas you up. Nobody's, you know, like hyping you up every single day. And having that community that is there to fill you up when you need to, you know, to pick you up when you're down, to give you that hype, to share, you know, this in the world that you're building, to live there alongside with you. That is one of the most important things for being self-actualized and for achieving self-actualization. And if you have
learning how to surround yourself with the community that supports you, uplifts you,
and uplifts there, right, and uplifts each other. And I think if you do that, then that gives you all the more reason to take care of yourself, right? To take naps during the day when you're tired, you know, like to take vitamins, to take your antidepressants, to go to class, to go to therapy, right? If you take care of yourself, right, then that allows you to take care of the community, right? So you look after me and I look after you. And, you know, that's the beauty in community, and it makes you want to take care of yourself because you're taking care of other people.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I definitely understand like that point. It's actually something I say like about life in general. My podcast listeners are going to hate me because I keep reiterating the same points, but I feel like it's important that find people that are worth investing. Mm-hmm. Your emotional, whatever capital it is, whether it be financial, emotional, mental, mm-hmm. find people that give back into you, whatever it is that you feel like you need from them. So like you said, whether it be encouraging you, supporting you, giving you tips, introducing you to, like, putting you onto information you may not have known, or introducing you to people who can help. They're doing something that's positive for you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be financial. It doesn't have to be emotional, but whatever it may be, they're doing something that affects you in a positive manner, mm-hmm. and it allows you to keep going on. Because like you were saying, energy is a finite resource. It depends on the person. Some people have more energy, some people have less. But at the end of the day, you're going to run out. And if there's not anyone there to recharge you, you're always going to be tired. Because mm-hmm. you're always putting out energy, but you're never getting energy back. Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, so it's not sustainable to be not, you know, refilled. But I do want to say that you can do a lot of refilling on your own. Right, of filling yourself back up, whether, you know, through meditation, through praying, through spirituality, that can be a large part of kind of, you know, of pulling this energy into yourself to be able to give out to others. And I want to say that sometimes, you know, it's the best thing, right? The best thing is to be filled by somebody else, right? To have people that you surround yourself who are going to give back to you. But that's not always going to be the case, right? There are going to be times when there aren't people who are going to give back to you, or the people that you're giving to aren't going to give back to you. And you just kind of have to realize that and be okay with that, right? Because everybody should have someone who can give to them, right? So can you give unconditionally? And that's a large part for me. And like, it can be a struggle to give unconditionally when you're not being filled back up, right? But it's still, it's almost something that needs to be done sometimes, because people, they can, yeah, like, take you for granted, or they, so some people that they just don't know when you are giving to them, right? Or they don't know how, right, to give to you, right? And so you, but you still need to be able to give to them without expecting in return. Because ultimately, right, it will come back to you, but you just kind of have to trust in the process.
And also make sure you choose the right people to give the energy to. Yeah,
true.
Because, like, you can't just give your energy out indiscriminately. You have to be selective. Mm-hmm.
True.
Like, think of it as a stock market. Because I feel like that's an easy way of looking at it. You got to find someone that pays dividends. Mm-hmm. If you keep, you can't just be stuck in the sunken cost fallacy. Well, I've done this so much, whatever. I got to keep going. Mm-hmm. If after a while you're not getting the type of return that would make your investment worth it, you got to be able to say, okay, let me cut costs.
Yeah.
That was a failed experiment. You got to take your risk to make money or make whatever it is you're trying to achieve, and like that risk just didn't pay off.
Yeah, I want to say like sometimes, you know, like we spend money, we don't expect anything in return, right? Like it's like you said, stock market, but it's also gambling, right? Sometimes like you gamble and you win, sometimes you gamble and you lose, but sometimes you gamble and you don't win and you don't lose, right? And so you, for me, I know like I've said this earlier, right? That you don't put people in these boxes, but that's ultimately what's going to happen is that I have friends who I give to unconditionally, right? Like I give and I love and I you know, try to share as much of my life with them, but I know that 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to see anything of a return for that, but I still give because that's what, you know, you're supposed to do. Right. And that's that, I still give without expecting a return, because like I know that maybe, you know, someday down the line, you know, it'll come back to me eventually, right? Maybe, you know, maybe that's karma, maybe, you know, I'm just, you know, putting that energy out there, right? Then I'll see it come back around. But I just feel like, you know, we shouldn't always want to get something in return. But that's what we should be thinking about when we do make a lot of decisions. But we can't count out the fact that sometimes you can make decisions that won't you know, give in return to you.
Yeah. Yeah. You just gotta find what's important to you and find what the proper balance is for you. It depends on each person. Makes
sense. Yeah. Okay.
Next question. Focusing on yourself involves knowing, actually we kind of already answered this, but I guess you could touch on it again, but focusing on yourself involves knowing when to let go of someone who you may love but isn't a positive or constructive presence, at least not in their current state. How do you determine when someone's more detrimental than helpful, and then how do you go about separating yourself from that person?
Okay. Yeah, I see. I think I think that you can try your hardest, right? Try your hardest to give to someone, to love someone, to, you know, live alongside them and to have them a part of your life. But if they don't want to be a part of your life, then you just kind of have to let go. You have to try. I mean, you should try once or twice and then let go and just kind of give it away, right? Give them away. It's a lot.
Give them back to the streets.
She belongs to the streets. Yeah, for real. She belongs to the wind.
She belongs to the streets. Give them back to her.
Shoot, it's hard. It's hard though, because sometimes, like, it's That's difficult. That's like the hardest thing to do is to let go of someone when they can't benefit your life, right? Or when you can't work on them, right? Sometimes you just have to say, I don't know, but you know, you're gonna find something. And I think put yourself first, right? You have to say, you have to make a decision, right? What is it that I want, right? And can I live with this person the way that they are now? Or is the best thing to do, like, it's such a tough question. Yeah. How do you make that decision? Or personally, what do you use to make that decision? Go ahead.
So, like, my personal thing is, I might be someone that even gives people too long of a rope. I'm very much the type of person that I try to see the silver lining and give people a chance to improve and all that. Or maybe I see the potential in them and I'm like, okay, I see where they could be good. But like after a certain while, it's like for me personally, like things that I don't like, ignoring. Like I understand that life happens, life goes on, things come up, but like if you consistently ignore me to you, or like I always have to be the first person to reach out to you, like you never hit me up, I'm always the one hitting you up, after a certain while that gets tiring. Like I'm okay with even like I'm the one that usually reaches out, but like sometimes you gotta come to me. Like communication is a two-way street, a relationship is a two-way street. If I'm always you but you never come back my way, then like I'm not allowing that dynamic. Like, I'm not forcing my friendship or my love or whatever it may be on anyone. After a while, it's just going to be like, oh, they don't consider me valuable? Well, that sucks, but I guess I got to move on to someone else who might have a better understanding of, like, what I bring to the table. Because, like, after a while, I'm like, why should I waste my time and energy that's finite on someone that's not willing to even put out a tiny fraction of the same energy? That's just a waste of my time and energy. Like, you gotta use your energy effectively, especially for me, a person who's depressed. Like, I have a very finite amount of energy, so I'm not trying to waste any of it.
I think that's right. Like, you need to knowing yourself and doing things out of love for yourself, right? So being somewhat selfish is a good thing, because that can help you to make those tough decisions and know when giving.
Can't no one be completely selfless. Yes. It's impossible. Like, you will literally crack. I've done it myself multiple times, right? Like, you try so hard to help others that when it comes time to help yourself, you have nothing left because you gave it all away. At a certain point, you gotta say, okay, you're cool, I like you, I'm willing to invest in you, but I need to keep some capital for myself.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, say I have 100, an energy bar of 100, let me keep at least 20% of my energy to myself for things I need to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Not like very person to person, but like I'm saying, like, if I give out 100% of my energy, guess what? When I need that energy, there's nothing left.
Yep.
You can't go. People who say, "Oh, I give 110%, 120%." You can't do it. It's impossible. Nope. You gotta pull from somewhere. And if you given up all of your energy to other people, that's there's nothing left for you. It's okay to be helpful. It's okay to be compassionate. It's okay to listen to others and put out positive energy. But you also need to keep some energy in reserve for yourself. Like the U.S. government. They keep a certain amount of barrels of oil just in case, like, something happens, like, there's an emergency, like, we can have oil for, I forget how many months, like, 4 months, potentially. Like, they keep something like 400,000 barrels of oil somewhere in reserve, or not 400,000, 4 million, some number, I forget the exact number, but they keep that oil just in case so we can be potentially self-sufficient if something happens, like, there's a war, or we have a train embargo, or some other
complication that makes it so we can't get to oil easily. Mm-hmm. You gotta treat yourself like that. You gotta keep at least a little bit for yourself in case of emergencies if you need it, or for your day to day functions.
You're right. All right. Yeah, I agree. I didn't think about it like that. I don't know where my meter is, but that's a good example because I see that, you know, I give out, you know, 10% of that is, you know, for free, right? You know, you can give here or there, but if I'm, you know, giving at 90% is a lot different than giving at 20%, right? It's like, you know, I'm used up. You can't, I don't have anything to give today, right? Mm. Smart, yeah.
And like your meter might be, your meter, personal meter might refill daily.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it might refill weekly, or it might refill monthly. Yeah. It all depends on the person. You just got to keep track of that meter within yourself, within your head. You don't have to always constantly think, oh, I just talked to this person, I just lost 0.2%. But you know what I mean? But like, you got to keep a mental math. Like, okay, I got this much energy. I'll use this much. How much do I got left? I got to ration this in myself. Like certain days, I'm just not in a social mood because like my meter is low. So I'm keeping that energy for other purposes.
So do you keep a tally on other people, right? So,
like, I don't keep like an exact tally. I just, you have a sense of like how, this might be hard to explain, but as someone who's lived with depression my whole life, I didn't realize it was depression, but like I've lived with it my whole life. You realize, okay, today's not a day where I'm in high spirits. Mm-hmm. I have a low tally.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm a key to myself. I've been low for last couple of weeks. Let me pull back and recharge. Like there's an extended period of time where I was just not on Twitter at all. I mean, I had like I wasn't on my main account. Like I would check, I would come in like a few hours a day, check my notifications, and then log right back out because I wasn't with it. I didn't have the energy to interact with people. And I was at that point, my meter was so low that even when I did interact with people, it wasn't a positive experience. Like I either got mad, I started getting short tempered, I was insultative. Like it was not good energy. So I was like, well, if I don't have any good energy to put out, I'm just pull back. Mm-hmm. It's not fun. It's not fun being alone, but like sometimes you just gotta say, bite the bullet and be like, okay, I'm not in the mood for this social interaction thing. I don't got the energy for it. Let me sit back. Let me recharge. Let me get my head in a good place, and then sure, I'll attack this later.
I agree. That's smart.
Like it's like, or at least for me, maybe other people got an exact number, but it's not an exact number. It's just a sense of feeling. Like certain days you wake up and you're like, oh, I feel really good. I can do a bunch of stuff today. And other days you're like, man, I feel like crap. I don't want to do nothing. Like you just got to keep that sense of yourself.
So how do you make these decisions when it comes to relationships, right? Like, you know, making that decision, because that's not like, go ahead.
Like I said, it depends on the person, but for me personally, I prioritize people that I feel like I either prioritize newer people because like I'm giving them a chance and testing them out, or I'm prioritizing people who have shown me in the past, like people that, for me personally, like I care about acknowledgements. Mm-hmm. Like that's one of my things. So if I feel like someone one day, like someone hits me up out of the blue, they I didn't say anything to them, but they just in their heart they were thinking about Jair. Like, hey, how's Jair doing? That person gets a higher precedence than someone I have to go towards for an interaction, if that makes sense. Like if someone was like, oh, one day they randomly send me a tweet or something, or they send me a link, or they ask me how I'm doing, that person gets higher precedence. Because like, there's someone who's willing to get back into me. Like they don't necessarily have to be like, oh, Jair, this and this is and this, but like, that shows I'm at least on their head. I'm in their headspace. I'm someone they find worth investing in. Because like I didn't have to go out and like reach out to them or haggle with them or bother them to like interact with me. They chose to do that on their own.
So that person is higher up on the list because I feel like the interaction will probably be better because I'm more of more importance to them, and vice versa. So then the last question. Learning how to balance self-improvement and social activities like friendships and relationships, and how to balance those things.
How do you learn how to balance them?
How do you balance
and
them?
Balance social things? I think, this goes back to the goals question, right? Like, I think you bake them in. Right, you make self-improvement a part of your relationships. And I think bring the squad along, right? Like, if I'm self-improving myself, then, you know, maybe I can self-improve somebody else. Maybe somebody else has been struggling with this, and maybe, you know, we both can get better at it. And I think sharing the gifts that you have, or, you know, sharing the goals and sharing the steps that you're taking to self-improve yourself can often improve other people. And I think that can make, you know, your friendships more interesting, can make them more worthwhile. And I think, it'll make it can better the friendships that you have with other people, because, you know, then, you know, maybe you might gain other people's respect, right? Or maybe gain your respect, you'll find out something new about them, or you'll have something that's constructive that you guys can do together, or you know find out some new things about each other. Like, self-improvement doesn't have to be something that you do alone, and it shouldn't be done alone. It's a much more fun you have a community who is celebrating you and celebrating each other and self-improving each other is a lot more fun.
So you gotta balance it in the sense of, like, you're working on improving yourself, but you're also working on improving your relationships with others. Like, it's not like they're not mutually exclusive things. Like, you don't have to do one at the expense of the other.
But, I mean, sometimes you do. I don't want to say that. I mean, sometimes they are mutually exclusive.
I mean, it depends. Like, sometimes you can work on both. Sometimes you gotta focus on one. Like I was saying, like, there are times where it's just like, okay, I just need time to myself to, like, figure my stuff out. And other times I'm like, I don't focus on myself as much because, like, I'm focusing on, like, my social things and, like, being active. And, like, other times you can multitask. You do both. Like, I'm gonna be social today. I'm gonna talk to my group chats. I'm gonna send a couple of tweets, but I'm also going to work on the podcast, or I'm also going to work on my music, or I'm also going to work on whatever. You know what I mean? It depends on the day, it depends on how you're feeling. I feel like sometimes you got to focus on one thing, and sometimes you can do a mixture of both. And, like, the amount of the mixture can vary day to day. Like, sometimes it can be a lot of self-actualization and self-centering and balance, and other days it's a lot of socializing. It's a lot of being the other things. And sometimes it's like an equal 50-50. You gotta be able to adapt to the situation. And like you were saying before, you can't allow yourself to get stuck in a box. Like, things aren't black and white. Like, it's a spectrum. You gotta be able
to... Knowing your boundaries is important, right? Knowing that when you don't feel comfortable, or, you know, when you don't want to share certain parts of yourself with this person, or, you know, if that person, you know, if somebody's about bullshit, right? Somebody's gonna bullshit all the time, right? I don't need to share my more intimate goals of self-improvement with them, because I know they're on bullshit 24/7, right? So knowing that that's a boundary that I have, you know, I just can't share this with you. I would like to, but I can't, right? I know that it's not good for me. I know that it's not good for our relationship, right? That's a boundary that needs to exist for us to be friends, right? Because, like, you still have things you can get But this, but until you're not bullshitting 24/7, that boundary's gonna be up, all right? So knowing that about yourself and knowing that that's just kind of what you have to accept is good for, yeah, this kind of self-improvement relationship thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, do you have anything else you want to add to that last thing before we end?
But what I do want to say is I'm very proud of you, Jaira. And I'm very excited for you. I'm proud of the work that you've been doing and the person that you're becoming and the goals that you have. And I think you're...
You're going to make me blush.
I think you're doing a lot of good things.
But I really do appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. It's not very often I get to, I won't say brag, but it's not very often I get to announce good news, and it's not very often I get positive reinforcement. So I definitely appreciate you saying
I'm
that.
I'm always going to get.
It's not like I've done this alone. I have to appreciate the people who have helped me along, including you. I believe you've been on, at this point, 5 episodes. So like, definitely I appreciate you not only being a guest, but also you making the podcast a greater hold than it would have been as the parts, if that makes sense.
I just want to gas you up and say you're doing a really good job, and I'm excited to be a part of you, to hang out with you, to talk to you.
I mean, it's nice, but it's also like I wasn't actively searching out for it, so it's kind of, it's cool being appreciated for, like I said, I just put out a post of like some of my edits, and like for whatever reason the algorithm on IG, I don't know, they picked up on it, and they were like, collab. I was like, okay, sure. And like you said, you never know when opportunities are going to present themselves. You just gotta be out there doing what it is you do. Be open and allow yourself to see things that you might not see if you have your blinders on and you're only focused on one thing. Like I said earlier in the podcast, you have to be adaptable. Like, things aren't just like on a set path. Like, it's not a railroad where like you have one set track and then you can follow along. It's more an open path, a series of open paths that is the farther along you walk, the more the path branches, and then you gotta choose what you feel like works for you. Once you make that decision, other branches will open up, and then you keep going.
I got one to
Brute Impact for choosing taking a brand ambassador. Hopefully that's a partnership that works out positively for both of us. We shall see. Before we end, do you have anything else you
want to shout out? I wanted to tell the story real quick. So there's an ancient, this is a Zen Buddhist story, right? It's called Maybe So or Maybe Not. And so we're talking about.
Whenever someone says it's a Zen Buddhist story, you know it's about to be some knowledge. Continue.
So we talked about self-actualization, just like you said, being adaptable, right? So the story goes like this. One day in late summer, an old farmer was working in his field with an old sick horse. The farmer felt compassion for the horse and desired to lift its burden, so he left his horse loose to go to the mountains and live out the rest of its life. Soon after, neighbors from a nearby village visited, offering their condolences, and said, "What a shame. Now your only horse is gone. How unfortunate you are. You must be so sad. How will you live your life, work, land, and prosper?" The farmer said, "Maybe so, maybe not. No, who knows? We'll see." Days later, the old horse came back rejuvenated after being in the mountains, and came back with 12 younger, healthier horses. Right? Word got out in the village, and everybody came back and said, "Look how fortunate you are. You must be so happy." Farmer said, "Maybe, maybe so, maybe not. You know, who knows? We'll see." And so at daybreak the next morning, the farmer's son was riding the horse, and he broke his leg. And so one by one, the villagers came back and said, "Oh, what a tragedy. Your son won't be able to help bag. The farmer said, well, maybe so, maybe not. Who knows? We'll see. Several days later, a war broke.
This man ran out the middle, by the way.
What'd you say?
This man is a living shred. I said this man sounds real non-committal, by the way. He's a living shred. This man, I'm just picking up a shrugging gif every time this man talks.
A war broke out, and the emperor's army came, and they were drafting people. And his son couldn't get drafted, and so the neighbors came back and said, "What good fortune do you have?" And the farmer said, "You know, maybe so. Who knows?" And so at the end of the story is like, you know, just who knows what life has for you, and always being able to be adaptable and saying, you know, maybe so, maybe not. Taking the good with the bad. Ultimately, they're going to happen to you, and you know, life isn't.
And how to prioritize what is important to you.
That's what it's about. So, you know, being adaptable, being able to accept the things that happen to you is important in life. That's all I got. Other shout outs? No, I'm happy that everybody's doing online this fall. And so colleges aren't going to, you know, risk the students getting COVID. I'm very pleased with that. And other things to shout out? Yeah, shout out Jaira. He's a good person. Good podcast.
really gonna make me blush.
It's always a pleasure talking to you. It's always a pleasure to have the podcast. Just have a good vibe like this. Be able to chat, laugh, learn, chat, and hopefully pass on something that's entertaining to the listeners.
Hopefully.
Before I end.
Hello? Hello? It cut out. If you can hear me, I can't hear you.
JLash20 on Twitter. Or my IG or Snap, which are both just my full name, Jaira Lashley. Don't be afraid to reach out to me. I'm always listening. My DMs are open. If you want to follow me on any of those, I follow back. I'm not. I'll act like I'm a celebrity or anything, because like I'm not. I'm just like a regular dude who's just trying to enjoy life and hopefully put some things in motion that will make life more enjoyable for myself and others.
Yep.
Thank you again, Chris, for joining me. Of course. You're always welcome on the podcast whenever. If I have a topic I feel like you would like, I'll always like let you know. It's always great to have you on, but
we'll see you
enjoy
later.
The rest of your evening.
You too. Bye.